She's the original Scream Queen.
I find scary movies, I find them very soothing.
Is that what it looks like?
Mm-hmm.
No!
What percentage of koalas have chlamydia?
This movie's fucked up.
Do you always have to see the monster? And welcome to Screams in Queens. I am your co-host, Bree.
And I'm Megan.
And we kicked Jenna off the podcast. Just kidding. Jenna couldn't be here today. She's actually out of town. So we decided to do a little bonus episode on the second season of The Haunting of Hill House, which is The Haunting of Bly Manor. And just a quick disclosure, there will be spoilers, so if you haven't seen it yet and you don't want it to be spoiled, then make sure you watch it before you actually listen to the episode. So it'll be a little bit different than what we typically do, but first we'll go over just kind of a summary of the series as a whole, and then go over what we liked, what we didn't like, what scared us, maybe what didn't scare us, compare it a little bit to the first season, and then talk about whatever we want to talk about. Okay, so basically, if you haven't seen it or if you're going to watch it, so the second season is based off Henry James's short story, The Turn of the Screw, which we actually did our second podcast on that story and compared it to the movie The Turning. So this series is based off of that story and is done much better.
Agreed.
Than The Turning.
Significantly better. Exponentially better.
I mean, and honestly, it's not hard to do much better than The Turning because The Turning was trash. but yeah, so it's based off that, where we have our protagonist, Dani. She goes to Bly Manor, where she meets Hannah Gross, the governess, Flora and Miles, the children that live there, Owen, the cook?
Yeah.
Okay. Jamie, the gardener. Who else am I missing?
Uncle Henry,
he's
the executor what is it, of a state? I'm drunk, guys. I'm wine drunk.
I'm drunk on coffee. Megan drunk on wine. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what his title.
He handled the financial status of the estate, but he handled it from his London flat in office.
Yeah, and he apparently wanted literally nothing to do with the children, which we have a theory as to why that is later when we actually get into some spoilers. Okay, so Dani goes to Bly Manor and she is haunted by this ghost. So even before, or we don't know if it's a ghost, but we are assuming it's a ghost. So even before Dani goes to this haunted mansion, she's already haunted by this ghost. She sees this ghost in the mirror with these big glasses that are like shiny, almost like headlights. So she's already haunted. She goes to this mansion and the kids are weird. a big difference between like this and The Turning is that, and it's kind of more true to the actual short story by Henry James, but they have, Dani and the governess, Mrs. Gross, actually have like a good relationship. Mrs. Gross is young versus in The Turning, she was 95.
Like a emaciated version of Miss Trunchbull from Matilda. She was like not cute, had awful teeth, dark circles. She looked like a walking corpse. But yeah. Mrs. Gross from Bly Manor is beautiful.
Yeah, what is her name? Hold on, I have it.
Good
yeah,
for
she
you,
is. Herb. Yeah, no, she's beautiful. Tania Miller. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's like T'NIA. So Tania Miller, I'm assuming is what is
she's
how
a great
you
actress.
Oh yeah. They were all great. Yeah, I was just gonna say, like the acting was just all great. But so she's in this mansion and the kids are weird, but everyone else seems fairly, like, nice and normal. I mean, the kids are nice, too, but Miles is kind of a creep, and then, as Miles is, but you have Mrs. Gross, who's really nice, and Owen, who's really nice, and Jamie, who that turns into a whole thing, but, and she, just spooky stuff happens, basically, so, and we'll get into that here.
So the whole reason, this is similar to, like, in The Turning, there was an accident with the parents, therefore they needed their initial governess, which was Rebecca Jessel. Something happened with Rebecca, so they hired on Dani. I think it was a little bit of a culture shock for her because she was American and came there trying to escape her own grief, I think. She was literally trying to run away from her problems and go as far as she possibly could from home. And she came on as the governess, and Miles was initially at a boarding school, which is very similar to how it was in The Turning, but in this, he killed the class pet bird.
Yeah.
But you find out, you're like, oh my god, this kid's a fucking sociopath. He's killing animals, whatever. But you find out that sweet little Flora sent him a letter in the mail that said, come home, and there was a picture of her next to some creepy fucking ghost. So he's like, shit, gotta get home.
He's like, gotta kill this
dog. Well, first he tried to jump out of a tree. I forgot about that. Broke his own arm. I don't know if he was, like, trying to get sent home because he was injured, and when that didn't work, he just, like, killed a bird and beat the shit out of his classmate trying to go home.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because he was evil. He was just wanting to protect his sister.
Wanting to go home. And that's really sweet. But, yeah, so let's talk about that for a second. So when Miles is at school, he is, they're having this lesson on demons and how they had to, like, or Jesus had to give our there was what was I forget exactly what it was, but basically, like, demons were like, hey, can we, like, possess these pigs? And Jesus was like, sure, like, you had to get permission. And Miles seems very interested in the idea of, like, having to, like, ask permission to be possessed and just possession in general. And I would be like, that's weird. Like, why is he so interested in that possession? But so he's very engaged in that. And then, yeah, so he ends up killing the dove. And
that's what bird it was. For some reason, in my imagination, it was like a flamboyant parrot or something.
Like a macaw that the priest has. He's like, the dove that he breaks his neck. And the priest, like, finds him on the altar
or something. And the poor priest, he kept trying to advocate for him. And, like, the headmaster from the school is like, send that bitch home. And he's like, but father, he's a broken child and his parents are dead.
Yeah.
Like, poor guy. He was just trying to be, like, a good, like, you know, teacher and try to, like, role model. He doesn't know that this kid has weird fucked up ghosts at home that are trying to hurt his sister.
Yeah.
But and it's like, he's, like, broken and needs some role modeling. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And it's like,
I don't know if there's a better way to do that other than murdering the class dove.
Yeah, it's like, you gotta murder the bird. Like, and it's like, yeah, the priest was advocating for him, and, like, how does he repay him? He fucking, what, does he kill him or something? What does he do to him, the priest?
I don't remember because I was watching Van Helsing, and there was another character that went to all boys private school with, like, a priest, and he, like, stabbed him in the eyeball, so I don't remember. I think he just killed the bird, and they sent him home for killing the bird. Did he do something? Oh, he, like, said, like, fuck you or something. Like, he, like, yelled at him and spoke back, and they're like, never mind, we're not keeping him or something.
Yeah, he was like, okay, well, never mind. Like, you can go home then. So then he gets sent home, and he's just creepy when he's at home. He's very, like, perverse. And you think, like, for a 10-year-old, you're like, that's weird. Like, why are you talking like this?
And I just realized that, wow, Miles wasn't consistent from the beginning to the end, but you realize, spoiler, he was possessed. I had no idea. I was just sitting here thinking, like, okay, Miles was a fucking weirdo in The Turning, and he was, like, older and acted like a perv, like a weird creeper. And I'm like, Miles had a couple moments where he was, like, creepy like that in this, where he, like, tucked Danny's hair behind her ear and, like, sensually touched her. But that could have been Quint. I didn't even... Light bulb went off right now. I'm like, what? I'm like, that was bad writing. But no, every single thing in the show was intentional. From every word that they spoke to mannerisms to things in the background. Like, visually, everything was intentional. Sorry, I just kicked my dog.
this show is just, like, so, like, if you haven't watched it yet, like, hopefully you have, because we're spoiling everything, but, like, if you haven't watched it yet, or, like, if you haven't finished it yet, like, watch it, because it is freaking phenomenal. Just the writing, the casting, like, Mike Flanagan, like, just everything about it is just freaking very well done, besides maybe the last episode, but we'll get into that in a second. But, yeah, so then Miles goes home, and he's creepy, and he goes to Danny, like, at one point. He's like, hey, everything's cool, and this place is cool, but, like, don't walk around at night. Just stay in your room. What does she immediately do? Walks around at night. I'm like, okay, if there was a little kid that lived in this house way longer than I have and was like, don't walk around at night, I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna listen to you.
It doesn't always have to be something, like, supernatural. That could be, like, fucking raccoons or possums running amok in this.
Yeah.
It's, like, dilapidated or whatever, like, decrepit manor that's falling apart and cold all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there might be something actually wrong. Or maybe it's just really dark and slippery at nighttime. I don't know.
Slippery.
Like,
you fall down really the damp massive
staircase. Yeah. Everybody says things for a reason. You think Hannah would say something. I don't know. Like, that's another thing. Like, how has no one else witnessed anything creepy? Like, why are there muddy footprints every night? Like,
yeah. I think, I don't know if it's, like, that they're all desensitized to it or something, because, like, in the story, in Henry James's short story, Mrs. Gross is, like, kind of denying things. Like, she's like, oh, there's no way you're seeing ghosts, but then sometimes she's like, well, maybe you are. So, I think it kind of has a play on that. Like, Mrs. Gross is, not that she's denying anything, because I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think Danny actually says, like, Mrs. Gross, there are ghosts, or, like, there are something.
I don't even think she verbalized that at all throughout the season.
Yeah.
I don't even think she fucking realized there were ghosts until she was hogtied and saw ghosts.
Yeah, she was like, oh, shit.
Like, there's creepy shit the whole season long. Creepy faceless children, like, creepy walking twitchy people, the wheezing spider-crawling ladies in the attic.
God, humming. Yeah.
She doesn't notice any of this. She's just, like... But she was guilt-ridden with her own shit. She was was haunted by her own demons.
Yeah.
So she didn't realize the crazy shit that was happening everywhere. The kids are like, it's like Scooby-Doo trying to, like, you know, don't look at this way. And they're, like, distracting her, and there's a ghost behind her. So, like, the kids distracted her the whole time to not notice things. But, like, we all notice things. But, like, this whole shit was really fucking creepy.
Yeah. And, okay, so to backtrack with that. So, speaking of, like, haunting, I want to go back to the man in the mirror.
Yeah, we should probably explain
talking
that.
Talking about the man in the mirror. Michael Jackson. Anyway, yeah, so what is it? The first episode, I think it's the end of the first episode where they lock her in the closet and she starts having that, like, anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. And there happens to be a mirror in this closet. She's locked in. I'm like, oh, man, not only is she locked in a closet, but there's this fucking mirror in there where she's haunted by this ghost.
How did,
like,
that happen?
They Looking said, back. They were like, it was an accident. But they, like, very purposefully, like, closed the door, locked it, walked away. Like, it's like, oops. Like,
yeah, like, oh, we couldn't find the key. But yeah. It's like, okay, how did it lock to begin with? Why is there a lock on the outside of your closet? That just oozes child abuse and neglect. We're gonna lock this kid in the closet. Why are there locks on everything?
Yeah.
But I'd actually be interested to look this up, because the, like, mention of locks and keys are, like, consistent throughout the series.
Yeah. What? So, something that I was thinking about when, so we'll talk about Peter Quint a little bit, like, his sociopathic behaviors and the empathy we felt for him and whatever. A lot of people hate Peter Quint, but we might have a different, maybe have a little bit of a different opinion, but we'll get to that in a second. So he's the one, okay, first of all, first thing about Peter Quint, very strong Irish accent. And
watch with subtitles.
Yeah, and that's it. I was just going to say that. The thing is, like, thank God Megan has subtitles on, because, like, I wouldn't have done that, and I'd have been like, what the fuck is he saying? Like, I mean, beautiful accent.
Someone,
like,
was talking shit to me recently, and they're like, Megan, are you deaf? Why do you always use subtitles? I'm like, firstly, sorry guys, I'm drunk. Growing up watching, like, anime or foreign films, I don't know Japanese or French or Russian. Ergo, I need subtitles, but I also can't hear shit, and when people talk in accents, I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, like,
especially
he
has a very thick Irish accent.
He has a thick accent, and then, oh, shit, what's her name? The gardener.
Oh, Jamie.
Jamie. I'm like, Emily? I don't know where that name came from. She had, like, a bit of, like, a brogue accent, but anyway, watch with subtitles, sorry.
But you, like, I am not trying to, like, you know, shit on him because beautiful accent. And I'm sure, honestly, shit that we say as Americans, they're like, what the fuck are they saying? So it's just a matter of just a difference. Yeah, so it's just a matter of a difference of like, but honestly, I love Irish accents and any kind of like just perfectly splendid accents, like just beautiful accents in this. But some of them are a little bit difficult, like for us to understand just because our ears aren't like, it's not like normalized for us. But yeah, so Peter Quinn, he's gorgeous, first of all.
He's hot, yeah.
Let me, wait, I have his name too. His name is Oliver Jackson Cohen.
Oh, that's a really cute name too. Mm-hmm, he played the youngest sibling. He was younger than Nellie, right? He was the youngest?
Yeah, he was the second youngest.
In the original series, Haunting of Hill House.
Or was Nellie the youngest?
Maybe she was the youngest. He was the youngest boy. But there's a lot of actor crossovers in this anthology series, like how, what the fuck is his name? Ryan Murphy. I almost said Ryan something else. Ryan Murphy from American Horror Story mm-hmm. has similar, or the same actors playing different characters in different series.
Yeah. And that's why I love American Horror Story so much. And that's why I was happy about this, too, is because you have the same actors. Like, you have Connie Britton, who is just, like, amazing, and Jessica Lange and Sarah Paulson.
Oh my
like,
God,
you have
Jessica
this,
Lange.
Like...
Come back! I know. Miss you.
And Evan Peters, who... I love Evan Peters, and I think he's gorgeous, but I think he's a little bit racist, so...
Really?
I don't, I'm not sure. That's what I've heard.
That's
like,
so
I don't,
sad to
I
hear,
because
he's so... I loved him in Phil in the Future on Disney Channel, and he was also in the movie Sleepover. He played the skateboarder nicknamed SpongeBob.
Oh my God! I forgot he was. Yeah.
So cute. I've been obsessed with him for years, and everyone's like, oh my God, Ryan. Why do I keep saying Ryan? Evan Peters.
Got Ryan on the mind.
And I'm like, I've liked him since he was like 12.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
I liked him before he was cool. Yeah, I honestly, like, I'm not, like, don't quote me on this, like, but I've heard, like,
he and
not
Emma
great
Roberts
things.
Used to, like, beat the shit out of each other, too. Like, yeah. She, like, bit his ear or something. Like, they would have, like, domestic violence occasionally. And I'm like, that's not normal.
I can see her being a crazy bitch. Like, I can see
I don't
her
know.
Being
she just,
almost
she's
a
having a baby. I don't know who.
She's having a baby?
Yeah.
She married?
I No.
Not that it matters.
Billy
but...
Lord had a baby, too.
I love Billy Lord.
But I don't even know who any of these people are dating. I'm like, how are you pregnant? Like, you guys have been no record
who,
of you being with someone recently.
Yeah. Who impregnated you? Yeah, so anyway, but oh my gosh, just great acting in, like, yeah, American Horror Story, which I also want to say something about American Horror Story later too, but I'll save that. But so, yeah, same concept. You have the same actors, but a different storyline in Bly Manor as well from Haunting of Hill House. Okay, so back to subtitles really quickly. Speaking of subtitles, we're kind of all over the place, but like, fuck it, this is fun. I wrote down some of my favorite ones. Honestly, the subtitles are very, like, distinct too. Like, you have nocturnal chirping for the crickets, haunting whoosh. Like, not just a whoosh, it's a haunting whoosh.
What was the clicking noise?
Frightening clicking.
Frightening clicking.
I wrote that one
bugs
down.
Bugs with, like, it's trying to get you at nighttime. I'm like, ew, I don't like that phrasing.
You saw ominous thud a lot. Not just thud, ominous. Frightening music intensifies.
Oh, I saw pensive music. So I'm like...
Pensive music, yeah.
Thinking
it's like
music?
Thinking music. You're like, what does that mean? And then jarring thud, ghostly echo, and this is one of my favorites, footsteps squelching.
Ew, squelching is like such a gross word.
It's like when the Lady of the Lake is like walking around her feet. Yeah.
Like
it's like,
biting
oh.
into an apple.
Yeah. And I'm like, so the subtitles are really funny. Okay, so subtitles. Now, back to Peter Quint. So Peter Quint is obviously in the story as well. And he's just like this horrible influence on Miles and he dies. And so in this... in Bly Manor, you're not exactly sure whether, at least I wasn't exactly sure, whether Miles was, kind of as you get into it, you start to kind of put the puzzle pieces together, but you're not sure if, like, Miles is possessed by Peter, or if it's just, like, he's just influenced
right.
by him, just, like, by his environment, later you find out that he was actually possessed, but, so Peter Quinn is just this, seems like this sociopath, like him and Miss Jessel end up like hooking up, and there's this one scene where it gives me anxiety because like I've been with a sociopath, like I know you've been with a sociopath, like thank God we're not with them anymore, but like we've experienced that, so it's kind of like triggering when we see things like that. But Miss Jessel, like they're in bed and it's the morning and Miss Jessel's like, oh my gosh it's the morning, I must flee, and he's like, no, don't go, and she's like, no, I have to, and he, like, very aggressively, like, grabs her arm and was like, no, Mm-hmm. And she's like, dude, I'm going to be, like, downstairs.
Like, right. They're, like, in the same house. It's yeah, not like she's like, okay, I'm going back to, you know, a different country or something.
Yeah. And her, in his defense, like, that house is, like,
I feel like it amplified 20 stories. People's feelings, too. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, he was a dick. But, yeah. like, I feel like it made him more of a dick. Although, I was really triggered when Owen was, like, hey, try my pancake batter. And she's like, okay. And after everyone had licked the spoon, COVID triggers me, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine everyone licking the same batter spoon. Oof. But he's like, you put his batter in your mouth. And, like, accused her of cheating because she ate pancake batter.
Like, didn't you do it too, Peter?
She's, yeah. She's like, we all licked the spoon. You whore.
Yeah. He, he put his freaking finger in it. Like, it's like, Peter, you did it too.
So he basically,
sociopath.
Like, called her a whore for eating Owen's batter, which I would eat Owen's batter. Owen's hot.
Ayo.
Yeah. But
oh wait, I have his name too. Owen, I'm
so cute. He's probably like
Coley?
One of the most pure characters on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't deserve Owen. Like, everyone has their faults or is dead and has their faults because they're dead and confused.
Yeah.
But Owen was just so sweet and handling, like, he sacrificed a career. Mm-hmm. He was going to open a restaurant in Paris because he was a chef. His mom had dementia, and he's from Bly? Is that the name of the town? What's the town name where they live? It's a very small town with this estate on the outskirts of the town, and he moved back because he had to take care of his ailing mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so he became the cook at the estate for it, sacrificed mm-hmm. everything, and, like, he had, like, no, like, normalized relationships other than with the children and Mrs. Gross, and occasionally Jamie when she would, like, huff and puff through the house because she was spicy all the time.
Yeah.
He was just so sweet, and he was so punny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Owen was, like, very, like, the whole time we were like, oh, he's so cute. Yeah, and this mustache, yeah, he's just very cute.
I'm not normally into mustaches, but his work.
His just looked good, yeah. So speaking of that, with Owen, the emotion, there's a lot of emotions in this season compared, I mean, there's emotions in Hill House too, but compared to Hill House, there's a lot of emotional, like, value in this season, and it's really beautiful, and it's sad, but it's beautiful. And so Owen, he loses his mother, and there's this scene where they're all sitting around. First of all, I love the camaraderie in the mm-hmm. house where they're all sitting around with this, like, bottle of wine. I'm not talking, like, let's drink a glass of wine. They each had a bottle of wine in their hand. I'm like, now that's a party. Anyway, so they're all sitting around. Owen's mother had just passed away, and she had Alzheimer's, and he had been taking care of her. And they're all sitting around this fire, and they're talking about, like, he says, I'm sad, but I'm relieved. Right. And there's not, like, obviously, like, I can't really relate to that fully, but I can relate to that, not to get all deep into this, but I can relate to it a little bit because, like, my mom had a stroke, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when she had her stroke, she went to therapy. Like, we had to rebuild, like, she had to learn how to walk and grab things and drive and talk again. Like, and so it was very, and I don't want to say it was a burden because it wasn't, but it was almost like I was taking care of her at 16 right. years old. And obviously she's much better now. And my mom is, like, an amazing person, but I empathized with that because I was like, oh my gosh, I don't understand Alzheimer's and I can't even imagine what that must be like. But on a different level, I can understand that burden. And so that was extremely emotional for me watching that scene. And just the acting with the emotions are just phenomenal. So just really, really beautiful scenes in this.
Well, and that's another thing. We went into this season thinking it was going to be horror. Mm-hmm. It was very romantic.
Yeah.
There was romance. There was love. There were family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
There was existential horror. There was mental illness. There was grief and guilt. It wasn't your traditional American Horror Story shock yeah. value, gore, or jump scares. It was just feelings of dread, feelings of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was emotional all around.
Yeah. Very emotional, and just always, like the scare factor, just, yeah, not, no jump scares, but, like, well, I guess there's maybe one, but
when
one or
I
two.
Screamed, and I'm like, yeah. I that is not me, I don't scream
at
Oh,
anything. The one where she grabbed her throat, like, the lady in the lake, was that the one where we screamed at?
No, I screamed at the stupid part with Edmund, her ex-fiancé with the headlights.
Oh!
That wasn't even scary, it just caught me off guard, yeah.
It was, like, midnight, and at the end of, like, what was it, end of episode 2, maybe?
Yeah.
Megan just like, there's like blood curdling scream. I'm like, oh, it's like midnight in my apartment. Anyway, but no, so there were like a couple jump scares. But other than that, like the scares like were very effective. Like things just like in the background and what is it? Obviously we didn't take many notes, but what was it like episode one where I'm assuming now is Lady of the Lake, but she's just like Flora's like singing that like Willow song.
It was a
and
sister.
She's just like, oh, okay.
It was Perdetti. What's
and she's
name?
Just like, or, Perdita, I think is how you pronounce it.
Perdetti. I'm just making
Perdetti, yeah. Perdita from Shakespeare's, not Twelfth Night. What is it from? It's not Twelfth Night because that's Viola. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's going to bug me. I'll look it up later. But it's based off Shakespeare's, one of Shakespeare's play. But yeah, so Flora's like, just like, just like singing, and then it like kind of pans out and you see this just like very creepy, like pale stringy hair.
I
just,
think
like,
she was like
writhing.
Doing bridge pose.
Yeah. And she's like
humming.
Yeah. But like not even humming. She's like, like that's an exact representation of what it was.
And Flora just turns around. She's like, shh.
Yeah, and it's very, like, the way she says it is very familiar. Like, it's almost like she's done
this.
Yeah,
she's
done
this
before.
Oh, this bitch in the get, like, this freaking attic ghost humming away. Shut yeah. up, I'm hiding in hide and seek. You're going to expose me.
Yeah, and
what's
it was
name
like.
Oh, Willy Whaley.
Willy Wallaby? Or, no, Wallaby's a.
Wallaby Way from Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah. P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way or something.
Hold on, let me
yeah,
look it up.
Okay, yeah, the Willow, yeah, that song was creepy. And then, like, when the Lady of the Lake at the episode 8 is, like, she thinks she's singing it, but she's just going, like, A Willow Wally?
It's W-A-L-Y. Whaley? Wally?
Wally?
Willow Wally?
Whaley? Wally? Could be either.
It's a song about a lover losing their lover and to death, and they're grieving, and then they die at the end. So there's like foreshadowing at mm-hmm. the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
which
so
is
very...
humming. We're like, what the fuck is up with this creepy humming and mm-hmm. music box? Music box music is always scary, though. Like,
yeah, everything like Megan had said earlier. I don't remember if we were recording, but before we started recording, everything is just so meticulously thought out. Like nothing is just placed there. Like everything was like there's a reason for everything, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I can't say enough about this show. Like I would say, like arguably one of the best shows that has come out in the past like 10 to 15 years. Like
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But and oh, so okay. Back to Peter Quinn. I swear I'm gonna like end Peter Quinn conversation. But so. Kind of going off Peter Quint and Miss Jessel, like, just kind of some, so their relationship, it's kind of this weird dynamic where he's kind of a sociopath, this is what I was gonna say, we were talking about the keys.
Oh,
so
yeah,
this is what
keys
I was gonna say.
Locks.
Yeah, so, this is what I feel like, I mean, I'm no, like, therapist like your mom, but with, like, sociopaths, like, I grew up with a manipulator, so, like, I think manipulators, like, they're looking for that metaphoric key that, like, makes you tick, that's going to make you rely on them. Mm-hmm. Like, your key might be, like, my key might be, like, I need someone to, like, validate me, or I need, like, someone to tell me, like, I'm doing a good job or something, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So he's trying to find people's keys in order to, like, manipulate them. And so that's more of kind of a concrete thing, but then the more we watch the season, I was thinking, like, oh, the key is actually, like, getting inside, possessing Miles or possessing people.
I didn't even think about that.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's like, first I got it out of like more manipulation factor, and then second I got it out of more of like a possession factor. So I don't know if like, I'm just making that up, but that's what I got out of it. But yeah, so we have Miss Jessel and Peter who form this relationship, and they're sleeping together all the time, like in the manor.
She's neglecting the children too. She's like,
yeah,
oh, Hannah has the kids, and then they just go up to like their dead parents' bedroom and like bang, and like she tries on their dead mom's clothes.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
Like,
he goes like, wear this fur coat, and she's like, isn't that the dead mom's coat? And he's like, oh, fuck it, like try
like,
it on, you'll love it.
Uncle Henry totally said it was okay.
Yeah, yeah, and you're like, I feel weird about this, but also, like, then she's like, okay, like, honestly, I mean, I don't know. I'm, like, I try to be a good person, but, like, I might try on a fur coat naked. I'm just curious as to how I might feel.
He's like, you have to try it on naked because it feels extra nice on your skin.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, maybe. Like, I've never done that, so, like, maybe. But, yeah, so they're, like, banging in this, like, in their dead parents' room, and... The funny thing is, like, Mrs. Gross always walks in on them or always sees them.
She was kind of, like, there was a bit of voyeurism there. Yeah. She was always creeping.
And I'm like, and the funny thing is, I'm like, aren't there, like, 40 rooms in this house?
How did she find them?
Yeah.
She opens every door.
Yeah, she keeps running into them. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, how, like, there's so many rooms in this house. Like, how do you just keep running into these two people? So, anyway, enough about Peter Quint. We'll talk about him later, probably, but that's all I wanted to say.
When Danny comes into the house, she's with Mrs. Gross, Owen, Jamie, and the children, and they're like, yeah, there used to be this governess here. She killed herself in the lake, and there was this guy named Peter Quint that used to work here, and he robbed us of our money and ran away. Mm-hmm. So then she starts seeing Peter places, and she's like, oh my god, this crazy guy that's a robber is, like, gonna attack me. So she starts running around with, like, pointy metal objects.
Yeah.
So she starts seeing him. And that's when things start, like, I don't know, unraveling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Everything, like, makes sense in the end, but it's so confusing. Like,
yeah.
Mrs. Gross, Hannah, starts seeing all these cracks everywhere while the season's progressing. You're thinking you're seeing flashbacks, but you're seeing people reliving their memories the whole time. Consistently reliving them, like Groundhog Day. That's what's scary to me. Any type of psychological horror really freaks me out. If someone's trapped in their memories, trapped in the same day over and over and over again, like, that's freaky to me. Like, Oculus fucked me up.
Yeah. Is it the same director?
Probably not. I don't know. I haven't seen anything
Mike
about
Flanagan?
That. Don't we know a Mike Flanagan?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike Flanagan. Mike.
Yeah, he's, like, totally not listening, but, like, if he is, hey, Mike, yeah.
I'm like, that name sounds really familiar. Yeah. Oh, wait, he's super nice.
Yeah, he doesn't
look like this guy at all.
Yeah, Mike Flanagan that we know is a pilot.
Oh my god, he totally did Oculus. Mm. Shit.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
He likes to fuck me up.
Yeah.
Full circle.
But, so, really quick question. My question, maybe you know this answer, and if not, then if we have any British listeners, let me know. What is the difference between you have an au pair, governess, and, like, a nanny? Well, there was no nanny in there, but you have a nanny, let's say. What's the difference?
Like, so, Mrs. Gross was the housekeeper. She wasn't supposed to be watching the kids. She was supposed to, like, manage the house and keep things
clean. So that's what a governess is,
so,
like,
a governess and an au pair are the same thing. A governess is, like, a live-in person that handles, like, the estate with the children. And I think an au pair is, like, just a fancy word of nanny.
Like a nanny. Oh, okay.
That's, like, a non-American way to say nanny.
Okay.
I went to the Harry Potter premiere, I met a bunch of women that were technically nannies, but they met on, like, this au pair matchmaking site.
That's cute.
Yeah, like, it's if you're, like, from around the world and you want to au pair, you go on this site to apply, but you can also, like, meet other au pairs and become friends with them and find people in your area and stuff. Oh, it was really cute.
That's cute. Yeah.
Like,
okay,
I'm gonna be an au pair, except for, like, children are really annoying.
Yeah, no thank you. If I were Danny, I'd be like, no, I'm not
I
doing that
just
job.
Left them, like, the first day I got fucking creeped out and,
yeah,
like,
and I we heard a noise in the background.
Oh, he did Hush too.
You know what? I was just talking about Hush the other day. Yeah, he did a lot of good movies. So question answered about the au pair. Yes.
Oh, Gerald's Game? That has the same
actress. Oh, Gerald's Game? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same. I didn't finish that movie, but I need to finish it. You're seeing, like, sorry, go ahead.
What no, I was gonna say she played old Jamie, the lady from Gerald's Game.
Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, and Bly Manor, you're seeing, like, all these, like, I guess you can call them ghosts, like, for lack of a better word, you're seeing all these ghosts and these creepy things and, like, things lurking in the background, like this plague doctor, and none of it's really explained until, like, the end of the season, but it's all just, like, so, it's just creepy and it's unsettling, but you have these emotions wrapped up into it, and it's just, it's very interesting, but yeah, what creeped me out a lot was the people with no faces. Like, I don't know why that's so effective. Like, I'm assuming maybe that's effective for other people too, since they did it, but, like, there's no eyes and no nose. It's just maybe because it doesn't look like us.
I think
like
it's like Uncanny Valley, where it's humanoid, but off.
Like, yeah, like something's wrong with it. Like,
historically, we get uncomfortable. Like, it's ingrained into our DNA. If something looks weird, mm-hmm. it's dangerous, typically. So yeah. that's why things make us uncomfortable, because it's not right. Maybe mm-hmm. back in the day, if someone had that type of birth defect or something, they wouldn't survive to adulthood, mm-hmm. or that meant something was wrong. I don't know. It's innately uncomfortable. I don't know who looks at someone with no eyes and mouth. They're like, that's fucking hot. Like, yeah. sure there's someone out there that's like, that's normal, but it's yeah. not.
And just, like, flat. Like, well, I guess a little bit of an indent, but, like, literally just, like...
It's like if Voldemort didn't have eyeballs. Just,
yeah. It's, just like, not smooth. Even eye sockets either. Just, like, smooth, like, very, like, porcelain skin. Like, it sounds pretty. was not... That freaked me out. So, like, the Lady of the Lake was scary. Just, like, seeing her walking around...
Different Lady of the Lake than, like, Nimue with, like, Excalibur from King yeah. Arthur. Yeah. Different Lady of the Lake. This one's not so nice to run into. She'll just throat punch you and murder
yeah,
you.
Yeah, immediately throat punch everybody. And then the little boy that we see briefly, very brief story about him that we found out eventually, but so he is not really a big role, but it's just
was
a matter.
He the one playing with all the dolls all the time, where, like, there were yeah. dolls all, like, under the bench? He's like, I told you not to move that. Like, mm-hmm. so creepy.
Oh, yeah, so, well, speaking of the dolls... So I had said, like, the doll, if you've seen Hereditary, which if you haven't, watch it, but the dollhouse in Bly Manor, like, with all the dolls and stuff, it reminded me a lot of Hereditary, just because there was a mm-hmm. dollhouse and the dolls, and you have, like, Flora playing with these dolls, but then you find out that they're kind of, like, the dolls are somehow connected to them, because... Flora wakes up in the middle of the night and looks over at, like, Danny's bed, or, like, in the dollhouse, like, the bed that she made for Danny, and Danny's doll is not in the bed, and she's like, oh, where's Danny? And she looks, and Danny's doll is downstairs.
Yeah, so is there, like, a ghost, like, maintaining the house at all times, like, moving everyone?
The little boy's like, oh, they're here. Oh, they're here. So I don't know if, like, there's somehow, like, some kind of, like, voodoo, like, connected, because, like, in the Lady of the Lake, she was, like, under, which I still don't understand, I guess, but, like, she was, like, under the dresser, and then Danny goes to pick her up, and Flora goes, no, you leave her there.
Yeah, I feel like there were really a couple things that. Not explained. I feel like I need to watch the series a second time through, especially because yeah. I was drinking wine with the first several episodes.
Yeah, I'm sure there were some things that I missed too, so it would be beneficial to go back and rewatch it.
And Flora also made these dolls. They're fucking yeah. creepy. So, yeah. like, you find out in, like, episode 7 or 8 that her mom created, quote, totems with, like, acorn people, like, little creepy, like, grass dolls. So, like, then Flora started making them because her mom showed her them, and so she made, like, everyone a doll that represents them, and so she made, like, creepy dolls to represent the ghosts that she sees, too. Mm-hmm. And maybe she's more in tune with the ghosts because she was born in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
She seemed to be, like, chill with all the ghost friends.
Yeah, she just seemed like, oh, just don't go downstairs. Like, there's a ghost down there. Yeah, and I hate dolls. Like, I've said this before, but... That's one of my biggest fears. Like, I hate dolls. I hate creepy dolls. It just, like, I used to, like, just as a kid, I had bad experience with dolls. Like, just don't give me dolls.
Did one try to murder you?
Yeah, Chucky. No, I just, like, had this doll that was from a different country. I think it was from, like, Yugoslavia. And
why?
Well, because my dad used to travel all the time. So he would, like, because he was cheating on my mom all the time. So he would go and get... these, like, stuff from other country and bring it back, and he brought back this, like, super fucking creepy doll from Yugoslavia, and I named her Maya, or, like, he named her Maya.
I had a doll named Maya, too.
Holy shit.
Mine was from Thailand. My grandpa brought it back.
That's they were so connected.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Mine yeah. was a glass doll from Thailand.
Mine was not glass. It was, like, plastic, but her eyes, like, she had really, like, short, like, straggly brown hair and big eyes, and I just hated this doll, and he would always make me, like, he's like, I brought this back for you. You better sleep with it. I'm like, I don't want to.
I'm like, no thanks.
Yeah, and so I think I'm, like, traumatized. I was, like, forced to sleep with this goddamn doll. Like, I would hide it under my bed all the time because I was so scared of it. Anyway, so I hate dolls. That's my whole, psychological trauma behind why I hate dolls. But so that part, just for me, like, in general, is just effective, like, with dollhouses and little dolls, because that freaks me out. But, and then the little boy with no face, like, Flora cuts off the face of this bigger doll and puts it on his face. And I really want to post a picture on our social media because I'm like, this looks worse than we were talking.
It
like,
looks way creepier.
Yeah, it looks so creepy. And it reminded me of like that scene, yeah, from The Office where Dwight cuts off the face of the mannequin, or not the mannequin, the CPR dummy. And I think what you say, someone on Reddit said that too. Yeah, they cut off the CPR dummy, like puts it on his face. It's like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And
you're like, it looked like Charlie's face from Hereditary. That's sad.
Oh, yeah, weird. It also reminded me of Texas Chainsaw.
Oh, yeah?
And House of Thousand Corpses, like, anything with skin on its face. Like, it just, she's like, I'll fix you.
So much better.
Yeah, and you're
not
like,
better
no,
at all.
It looks 10 times worse, Flora. You should probably just not do that. But yeah, so anyway, just things with no faces and dolls are what scares me the most.
She totally freaked out. She's like, oh my god, Mom and Dad and Uncle Henry, I totally saw this ghost that didn't have a face. Not a ghost. I saw this kid that didn't have a face and I chased it around and was freaking out. And their parents are like, cool.
Yeah.
Totally normal. And the uncle's like, yeah, I saw someone without a face as a kid too, but it was a soldier. Make up a story for him. Like, that's just, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because people are more rational than we are. I'm like, there's totally a ghost. Like,
yeah.
If a kid came up and's like, there's something creepy under my bed, I'd be like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Absolutely.
House. I'm not looking. You
no.
look.
Yeah, I'm like, we're going to church, or we're going to move, or I don't know where we're going, but we're going to get the fuck out of this house. Like, I 100%, like, I don't have kids, but, like, when I eventually do have kids, like, if they're like, Mommy, there's a man in my closet, I'd be like, nope.
I got creeped out at my last house, and we had it since it was built. So it's not even like it was a creepy old house. Like, if I was in a manor that was around since, like, the 1700s, fuck no.
Yeah.
Someone's like, I saw something. Or, like, where are these mysterious muddy footprints from? Fuck that. Get the fuck
yeah.
out.
No. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to stay around and figure out what's going to happen. But speaking of the manor, my question is, how much money does it take to upkeep this manor? Like, it has to be at least hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, you're talking about, like, a heating bill, an electric bill, like to pay
water
to
maintenance
pay
maintenance on the landscaping.
Yeah, and to pay the people that
the
live there.
How is Jamie the only, like, why, how is this tiny female? She's not even, like, a big woman. She's tiny. The only gardener on the whole, so does she mow the lawn herself?
Yeah,
does
little,
she use a scythe? Like,
yeah.
How the fuck does
scissors
get everything done? And she was so pissed that, I'm like, was it this or was it the turning where Miles took all the roses for Danny? It was this, right?
This
and she's
one,
like,
yeah.
He cut up only roses.
Yeah.
And like, she's pissed. And then like, how is one person, it's like hundreds of acres of land that she's maintaining and planting random moonflowers in the middle of the forest.
Yeah.
How does she have time for all of that?
Yeah. She's very small and that manor is enormous. So I have no idea like how she has time for any of that. But, I also have more questions about the series or the season. Not only how much does it, so that's more realistic, like how much does a manor actually cost? So if you have a manor, listeners, any of you, let me know, shout me out because I'm interested
if you
actually
have a
to
mansion,
know.
How do you maintain the property?
Yeah, do you only have one groundskeeper or 12?
But I feel like you need to have someone, like it's such an old, like historical building, you need to have someone on hand that maintains the building, maintains the outside of the building, keeps it in one piece.
Yeah, because when Jamie went back in the last episode, it was just covered in moss. So it's like,
that's
well, obviously,
pretty,
nobody... Yeah, it was pretty, but it's like, obviously... But also, did Jamie previously scrape all the moss off, like, every day? Like, she's on a ladder, like, because she was on a ladder that one time, and Miles is shaking the ladder, and she comes down like, I'm going to punch you in your fucking face. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to... I would do the same thing. My next question is, this is more of a supernatural question, which I don't think really can be answered. But so, okay, you have these ghosts, and so this one, I forget which episode it was, but it was when you see the Lady of the Lake the first time, when she grabs Peter and drags him into the room. And
that
you,
was probably one of the most effective
scenes
of the
scary.
Whole season.
Yeah. I don't remember why they were all in the hallway. Like, they all heard a noise or something, and then Peter Quint is sitting there, and the Lady of the Lake comes and just, like grabs him by the neck and just drags him into the room. And then he walks out 2 seconds later, like, hey, guys. Like, what's up? And they're all like, what the fuck? But anyway, so they hand him a doll, and it just falls right through his hand. And then also, there was another scene where the Lady of the Lake just walks through Mrs. Gross, and she's like, but then, Jamie leaves her door open for Danny, as, like, a ghost at the last episode, like, hoping she'll come in. So are they permeable? Are they not? Do they have the option? Are some, like, and also if they are permeable, like, why don't they just fall to the floor?
They just fall to the floor of the earth.
Yeah, like, how do they, like,
walk? How does ghost physics work?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm interested to know, like, what are the rules of this world?
Well, like, so Peter dropped the doll, but then was able to, and then he, like, touched through, Miss Jessel's hand.
But yeah, but sex with her.
But Hannah was drinking wine and had a blanket on her lap. So mm-hmm. I think, like, once they're around, like, he's like, oh, I had to work really hard for you to be able to see me. So maybe they, like, once they exist long enough. You want a chip? Sorry, my dog's begging.
She's
for a
so
chip.
Cute. She says, hey.
So maybe, like, sometimes they can hold things and touch things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they can't. Because yeah. The lady at the light totally could throat punch everyone.
Well, literally, we're just throat punching everyone, but then she walked through Mrs. Gross, like, it was no problem.
But Mrs. Gross was maybe the one that was see-through.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I have no idea what the rules are, but
ghost physics are inconsistent.
Yeah. Either way, it was effective. But you find out, like, we're kind of skipping around a little bit, but speaking of, like, the Lady of the Lake, so you it gives the whole backstory, which I wasn't expecting them. It was in episode 8. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting them to do a whole episode on that, which I really enjoyed, because it wasn't like, it was like, oh shit, we gotta wrap everything up, do it really fast. Like, it was like, let's slow it down, I'm gonna show you everything that fucking happened. And the way it was done was so good. Like, Viola, like, it was like, it's just this pattern of this paradigm of, like, what was it? She slept.
Mm-hmm.
She woke.
She walked.
Yeah. And it just kept doing that. And then when she died, it was the same. Or when she was in, like, yeah, when she died and she was in purgatory, she slept. She woke. She walked. And then when she was in the lake, same thing. Like, it was just like, oh my gosh. It was just really, really.
It was powerful.
It was very powerful. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people on Reddit weren't into that episode. Episode 8 was completely in black and white. It was a total backstory as to who the Lady of the Lake was, who the other creepy ghosts were, the ghost child, the
mm-hmm.
plague doctor ghost. A lot of people were like, that could have been done in 15 minutes. I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was poetic. The way it was done was very beautifully done.
Yeah.
With the consistency of that. She slept, she woke, she walked.
Yeah.
It made sense as to why there were muddy footprints every single night at the same time. They're like, okay, Danny, don't go out there at this time.
Mm-hmm. You're going to see muddy footprints. Yeah, and so when that one time when Danny was down there and the kids, like, rushed down, what the hell? I just, like, snorted. Like, anyway, so the kids rushed down and they're like, hey, Danny, hey, look over here, look over here. And, like, in the back, it's the first time I think you see,
mm-hmm.
or not the first time, but one of the first times you, like, see her. So scary, like, so creepy. You just, like, see her, like, walking. And
her feet, too, that were, like, twitch shuffling behind them.
Yeah, ugh, it was so creepy. And the kids were like, hey, hey, Danny, hey, look, look. I can do. Hey, hey.
And then she's like, uh-huh. And they're like, okay, let's go to bed. And she's like, what?
Yeah. It's like, it's just funny. But it's funny how, like, yeah, they're just so used to, like, just these ghosts being in this house. Which I guess is kind of the same thing as, like, it's hard to compare this to The Turning, because this is just so much better. But kind of the same thing with The Turning. Like, they were, well, maybe. Like, let's say, in The Turning, let's say, like, for argument's sake, there were ghosts in the house and she wasn't crazy. Like, they were like, okay, there's ghosts. Like, it was normal for them to, like, be living with ghosts and have this life with ghosts. So, that's how it was in this show, too. Like, they were very, like, and they were protective of Danny, too. But before they got possessed. So when they got possessed, like, that one scene where they tie up Danny and, was it episode 7 or 6? I think it was
Seven.
So they tie up Danny, and it's the first time she actually sees
because they whacked
Peter
her at the end of 6.
Yeah.
And she wakes up in episode 7.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, Miles, like, whacks her and then whacked her. And she's tied up. She's, like, hog-tied, and she has this gag in her mouth, and it's the first time she sees Peter Quint and Miss Jessel, and she realizes that they're ghosts because she knows that they're dead.
She freaked the fuck out. She was, like, hyperventilating the whole time.
Such good acting. God, what's her name? Victoria.
I think it's like Peretti or Perdetti or something. It's
Pedretti.
Pedretti. There we go.
Yeah, Victoria Pedretti. Yeah, she was awesome in Hill House too, and she was awesome in
You.
Mm-hmm.
She's a good actress.
She's a really good actress.
Well, she was creeped out the whole time. She's, like, uneasy, and she had her own demons or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of episode 6, she, like, goes into Flora's room because Flora's been acting sketchy lately. She's losing time. She's like, I don't like this game. She says it over and they're like, what the fuck? And she keeps waking up on the lawn or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she goes into Flora's room in the middle of the night and sees Rebecca Jessel sitting on her bed. She's like, the fuck? I know this bitch is dead. She didn't know that Peter was dead. Uh-huh. She just thought he was lurking around the house being a creeper. So she freaks out, grabs...
She's like, Flora.
Yeah, she grabs Flora and then... Flora runs to the attic and she chases her there.
Yeah, she sprints like she is so fucking and like, fast.
Yeah, it's beginning like the like Flash.
She was. Yeah, she was in front of her, and then all of a sudden she was like gone. I'm like, that was fucking fast for her having like little tiny legs. Holy shit! She like.
And then she saw Rebecca and Peter together, and then Miles whacked her.
Whacked her. Yeah. So end of episode 6, and then. Episode 7 goes into, she's tied up, she sees Peter Quint, and she sees Miss Jessel, and there's just, like, a lot of things happen, but there's just a really, like, emotional scene where Peter Quint is, so he's talking to Flora and Miles, and he's like, hey, like, very, like you talk to a little kid, but he's like, hey, guys, this is the only way you're gonna go be with your mommy and daddy, like, this is okay, and Flora's like, promise, like, it's gonna be perfectly splendid. And
perfectly splendid.
And it is so sad, and you're like, no, and Danny's, like, screaming, like, with her gag in her mouth, but, like, oh my gosh, it is so just, like, heart-wrenching, and she's like, I'm gonna go be with mommy and daddy, and he's like, yes, but I don't think, like, when they possess them, it's not like they die, right? It's like, they're still there.
So, they compared the house to a rat trap?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the glue trap.
The glue trap, mm-hmm. Yeah. And
Peter
so,
glue trap, too.
So, Peter and Rebecca and everyone who died in the house was trapped there. It wasn't like your typical, you die and you move on. So, they were looking into ways to escape the house. And the way that Peter found he could escape the house was permanently possessing the children. They have to invite him in, because if they're not invited, they get kicked. But when, like, you're kicked from a party when you're playing video games. But when you are possessing someone, they start dream hopping. Mm-hmm. They live in their memories. So that's what they were saying. They weren't dying to be with their mom and dad. They were going to permanently put them into memories of their parents.
Oh, okay. I was, like, confused about that because I was like, are they dying? Like,
but it's like, okay, if you and your lover want to bang for the rest of eternity, that's fine. But don't possess siblings. That's just weird. Yeah, this isn't
the young
Appalachia.
Siblings.
We don't do that here.
People will be like, why are Flora and Miles banging all of a sudden? Like, yeah, that's weird. But so yeah, they're in the attic, and he's like, okay, you're gonna go be with mommy and daddy, and then they allegedly get possessed. Like, at least we know Miles is, and then we think Flora is, but then you find out that they were like Miss Jessel and Flora were pretending, because Miss Jessel still has a heart in her, and she feels bad, so she doesn't actually possess Flora, which is so sweet, and Miss Jessel was so beautiful. I have her name, too.
She's so pretty. Everyone in this show has mermaid hair, and I'm, like, hair envy of all of them.
Tahira Sharif?
Everyone has such unique names.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I should have looked at the pronunciations, but she's gorgeous.
So pretty.
We
also find out that the ghosts are faceless, because mm-hmm. if they're in the house long enough, they lose their sense of self. So it's basically them being erased. So they mm-hmm. lose their faces the longer they're in the house. It's like ghost dementia.
Mm-hmm. Which is very clever. Like,
so that's why Peter was so desperate to get out. He didn't mm-hmm. want to lose his sense of self. Hannah was already dealing with that. She mm-hmm. was trying to, my name is Hannah Gross. The year is 1987 or whatever. Mm-hmm. She was trying to constantly, it was like a, what is it? Oh my God. What is the word? Oh, I need to look it up.
And, like, we don't know at the time yet, but that's why Hannah was doing that. Like, I'm Hannah Gross. The year is 1987. Whatever it was.
It's like a mantra. Her, like, chant. She was chanting it over and over again to try to remember. And if she didn't say it, she wasn't going to remember who she was.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't even the first one to die. Peter was. And so maybe it's just because he had such will. He was such an asshole that it made him remember better.
No.
But that was the whole point of the curse, though, just because someone was just so stubborn and didn't want to die.
Mm-hmm. Or do you think it was because, like, he was continually, like, possessing Miles?
Oh, maybe he was living through Miles, so he wasn't...
He wasn't, like, losing himself. I don't know. Who knows? But, so, to talk about Dani a little bit.
We never went over her.
Yeah, we never really went over her, like, very original haunting. So we have this, the man in the mirror that she sees all the time with these big headlight eyes. And eventually she continues to see him, and it's super creepy. And then eventually you find out that, so I want to talk about that scene, that episode three.
What's the backstory with him?
Yeah, the backstory with him. Where they're like getting engaged, and they starts off with like, them as children. And then you see like for the first time these big glasses, because this kid is getting glasses, and you're like, oh, okay, here we go. We're going to hear the story about the man in the mirror. And so it flashes forward, and they're grown up, and they're going to an engagement party, like they're engaged. And there's a part where they're at dinner together, and they're sitting there and they're talking, and what was his name?
Edmund.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Edmund.
Eddie.
He goes, oh, like, I'm so proud of you. You're doing so well with this. And she's like, yeah, like, maybe we just, like, won't, like, do this. Like, is it worth it?
It escalated really quickly. She's like, I kind of don't want a big wedding. He's like, what? She's like, let's not get married at all.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
really escalated quickly.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
There was a montage before that where she seemed uncomfortable. His mom was laying on a lot of pressure for, like, his mom loved her and wanted her to be part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was trying on her wedding gown, which was his mom's wedding dress, which is just a very overbearing mother in general.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable. She was having a seamstress, put on her dress and sew her dress, and the seamstress like had her hand on her hip,
mm-hmm.
which that was the first time maybe that you saw that tension. I already mm-hmm. sensed the tension between her and the gardener Jamie, but I'm like, oh, maybe she's not living her truth and she's a lesbian and she likes to see, like,
mm-hmm.
she had that tension with the seamstress, and she's just a weaker, not that there's anything wrong with being not a super strong person, but she just wasn't a strong person from the get-go. She was always submissive, I guess. Not submissive mm-hmm. in, like, a dom submissive way, but, like, a more of a submissive personality type. She wasn't super strong. She wasn't, like, weak, but she was weaker. She wasn't mm-hmm. super strong. So she just kind of fell into this relationship, fell into this engagement, fell into this marriage almost.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, especially during that time, like, I wasn't alive in, like, the 80s, but especially, like, during...
You old fart.
Yeah, I'm like, but especially during that time, I think it's just something that, like, you did. Mm-hmm. Like, you got married, you had kids, you were a wife, you did this, you did that, and just the thing you did. And so, like, especially, like, in the 80s, like, you know, it wasn't as accepted as it is now, you know, being homosexual. And so for her to, like, she's trying to hide this truth, which is so sad, and eventually, finally, she gets to live it. But, so anyway, they're at dinner, and they're having this conversation, and all of a sudden, escalates. And as soon as she's like, I don't want to get married, the waiter comes over with, like, the food, and he's awkwardly like, here's your food. Like, and it made me think, like, I was trying to think of a time in my life where I had, like, a life-altering revelation in public, and I couldn't think of one, but I have had moments where, like, I was in public and you find out, like, some bad news or something, or you're mad and you have to just hold it together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, because you can't freak out. I mean, you could, but you would look like a freaking psycho, but you just have to, like, hold it together. And I think that captured that emotion and that moment so well, just because, like, whether we might not all have been dumped in a restaurant, but, like, before our wedding.
I feel like people do that on purpose so you can't freak out. They're like, maybe. If I do it in public, you're not going to freak out.
Mm-hmm. Unless you do freak out, and then you're like, well, shit.
I don't think she meant for it to go there, though. It just escalated to that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if she meant to be, like, to tell him that night, but he had said, like, he had opened it up almost like, do you want to get married, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, and she didn't say anything, and he's like, oh, really? Fuck. Like, and yeah, then they got their food, and it was super awkward. And so then they're in the car, and they're kind of arguing, going back and forth, and he's like, no, fuck you. Like, and that, to me, I mean, obviously, like, not just to me, but, like, to anybody, like, someone that you love
right.
and care about so much, like, whether it's a friend, family, fiance, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, like, if they look at you and say, fuck you, and they mean that, like,
right.
that is, like, gut-wrenching. Like, that's, like, a fucking, like, punch in the face, knife to the stomach. Like, I felt that. I'm like, oh, damn. Like, he's a good actor, too.
So, like, Dani's the the protagonist. You want to root for her, but if Zach and I were engaged, and he was, like, I kind of don't want to get married now. I would have freaked out. I would have been like, fuck you. That's not fair. I've paid for this shit. We went through all this process planning it. Like, fuck you. I would be so mad. So, like, I feel for him. I get it.
Yeah, and then he fucking dies. And you're like, oh, shit. But, like, so then you find out that he steps out of the car and immediately, like, gets hit by this truck before he does.
The truck is, like, fucking barreling down the road, too. Yeah. Like, whoever the driver
is. Next to his car.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, just the whole thing seemed fucked up. But, yeah, right before he gets hit, in his glasses, you see the reflection of the headlights. And so that's when you're like, oh, that's
the man in the mirror. I thought that was beautiful. How they portrayed his, quote, like, ghost demon, her grief, whatever, whether it's her mental illness, her imagination, or an actual ghost that's, you know, haunting her, they portrayed him as this, like, black silhouette with giant glowing glasses. And we actually discussed this episode one or two where it was the three of us, or Bree and my friend Jess and I sitting after the show talking, like, how did he die? Why is he like this? I'm like, it looks like headlights. It legit looks like a car, you know? Like, it's, it was beautifully done. Like, beautifully portrayed. Like, I really liked that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't like someone getting hit by a car, but it was a cool way to portray a ghost that was hit by a car.
Yeah. It was very unique, and it was very haunting.
Right.
So I thought that was really
Like, the
well
last
done.
Thing he saw before he died.
Yeah. And it was, what was so freaky is that, like, it immediately happens. Like, or, like, the haunting immediately happens. Like, they're at the funeral, and she looks in the mirror, and he's right behind. Like, he's, like, kind of, his head is kind of drooping, but he's right next, like, hand on her shoulder, standing there. Like, it happens, like, not a month later, like, days later, he starts haunting her. And it's like, we're not sure, like, whether that's actually real or not. Like, we're assuming it's probably not, because in later episodes, she, like, throws away his glasses. I obviously missed that part, because I was like, what the fuck happened to the guy in the mirror? But
he's just like, oh, yeah, I've haunted you enough. There's scarier things.
Yeah, they're like, you know what? Yeah, fuck that. There's the lady in the lake. Worry about that.
In my opinion, I think it's the manifestation of her guilt and her grief of losing him. She loved him as a friend. She loved him as a partner, but she wasn't in love with him. I think it was just a manifestation of what she felt. And when his mom came over, like, after he died, she tried to bring her a casserole or lasagna. She's like, this was your favorite dish. And it made her feel even more guilty. His mom gave her his glasses to hold on to. She's like, I thought you'd want these. No one knew that she broke up with him right before he died. She held on to that herself. The first time she opened up about it was with Jamie when they were having the bonfire for Owen's mother dying from dementia. So she had her demons. Everyone came into this having their own demons. So everyone had a backstory.
And that's what I really like, too, is that, like, there was such, like, compelling character development that
there was
you
depth.
Have.
No one was, like, one-dimensional. They all had deep backstories.
And the thing is, you get that a lot with horror. Like, this was less horror than Hill House was. I don't really know what to qualify this as, but you get that a lot with horror, where you just get surface characters and you don't get character development, because you're not, like, a lot of people, like, or directors aren't, they're not focused on, like, oh,
the characters.
They're like, we gotta kill this blonde girl off. Like, she's a slut. We gotta kill her, and we gotta kill the black guy, because that's the trope. Like, because that is, like, your typical kind of, like, date night movie, and that's the thing, that's the movies, unfortunately, that make the money, that bring in the money, the blockbuster movies. But then you have this beautiful, like, work of art, like, Bly Manor, where it doesn't, it's, I don't know if it's horror, but I mean, it's kind of, like, there's horror aspects of it, but it's more emotional.
It's
and
like gothic romanticism.
Gothic is a good, yeah.
There's romanticism, but that doesn't mean it's happy, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a very, that gothic is a very good word for it. But yeah, so Danny's already haunted before she goes into the house, and then she gets even more haunted, and then more haunted. So to fast forward, so after we, this is the very last episode, she, the lady of the lake comes out of the lake, drags, or the seventh episode, it ends with the lady of the lake grabbing Danny by the throat, and, like, dragging her around, and then Flora's like, no, and then it skips to the eighth episode, says the backstory, and then the ninth episode, the very last one, it flashes back to the quote-unquote present, where the lady of the lake is carrying Danny around by her throat, and Flora's like, please let her go, and then she takes, the lady of the lake takes Flora because she sees her as her own daughter, thinking it's her own daughter, and then takes her into the lake.
I loved her backstory, though. This woman was a strong woman who lived in the 1700s or 1800s, and, like, when she was marrying her husband, the priest is like, you must obey your husband. She's like, I will love my husband. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, she totally was like, omitted the fact that she, it was like intentional that she didn't, she was a strong woman. Mm-hmm. And then she, after she gave birth to her daughter Isabel, she was, she had consumption. She had tuberculosis and through pure determination alone, lived another 5 or 6 years she on goes, top of that.
No, like I'm not dying.
She was like coughing up blood and throwing up every day and kept surviving. Yeah. She was murdered by her sister, who her sister thought it was mercy, but she was kind of abusive toward her sister.
Slapping her all the time. She's like, fuck you. I'm like, you have no energy. How are you slapping her all the time?
So her sister killed her. She killed her sister. I don't know. It's an endless cycle of ghosts killing other ghosts, whatever. But she's haunting every day because she was rejected by her husband and her daughter. They threw away her belongings thinking it was cursed. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know she was a ghost. So she wakes up and walks. She sleeps, wakes up, and walks every night looking for her daughter. She mm-hmm. loses her sense of self, loses who she is, who her sister is. But through pure determination, she gives up and goes. She wants to find her daughter. That's mm-hmm. it. She's like, I'm looking for a kid. Thus, the ghost child that was killed before with no face. Yeah. She thought it was her kid. It wasn't. So Flora stopped her from killing Danny just by saying, no.
She's like, no, please let her go.
Please don't kill her.
She's perfectly splendid. So she takes Flora into the lake, and you think she's going to drown her, and then Danny goes and pretty much sacrifices herself and says, it's me, it's you, it's us, and then invites the Lady of the Lake ghost into her body.
To possess her.
Yeah.
Indefinitely.
Well, yeah, indefinitely. Like, and it's so, that idea is so creepy. Like, I have so many things that I think of when that happens. So the first thing I think of is Get Out, the Coagula.
Yeah.
But that's more of a scientific thing, like, where they actually do surgery. But I also think of, have you ever seen, like, The Skeleton Key
with yes! your husband?
That's what I was thinking of, like, during this whole season when that was happening. Like, it's,
with
like,
the key!
Of, yeah, well, literally, with the key, yeah. It's, like, kind of the, it's more, it's obviously, like, more voodoo-based, but you have this possession of this body, and you're going into their body, and they're still alive in there.
Right.
Somewhere.
And you can it's tell just, that they're possessed because it, let me look this term up before I say. I think it's heterochromia.
Oh, the different eye colors. Yeah, I'm not sure what that's called, but yeah. Yeah. So Danny gives herself, sacrifices herself to Lady of the Lake so she can save Flora. And what's the episode called? Like the Beast of the Jungle or Beast in the Jungle or something. And she just goes. You think it's gonna be like a happy ending because everything is bright out and all the ghosts like get to go to heaven or wherever they go, like Mrs. Gross disappears and then just all the ghosts are free and it's just beautiful. And then Danny, then there's like 45 minutes of the episode and you're like, well, what can I do? And Danny goes like, I can feel her. Like I'm like in the jungle. I can't see anything in front of me, but I know there's something there.
It's like there's the beast in the jungle waiting.
I got chills. And I just got chills now again thinking about it because it's so fucking scary to think about. Thinking like you're like there's something inside of you that's just ready to be awoken.
Well, awakened. And I think it is a metaphor for mental illness. Mm-hmm. Just like in Channel Zero mm-hmm. where Alice had the manifestation, the personalization, is that the right word for I'm drunk?
Yeah,
of
yeah.
her
a personification.
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. Personification of her schizophrenia. I think this is the manifestation of her mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Danny had her own demons coming into this. I don't think Edmund was haunting her. I think she was mentally ill from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were actually ghosts. And she was mentally ill. Those things aren't mutually exclusive. You mm-hmm. you can have both mental illness and yeah. actual ghosts. It's not just crazy or ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. She said, she's going to haunt me. She's going to get me. And she relinquished. She gave in. She went back to Bly Manor and killed herself because she felt like the Lady of the Lake was taking over. And I think it was just suicidal ideation and giving up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, which is really sad and interesting because Danny would say, like, she would see her reflection sometimes, like, not all the time, but sometimes she would see the Lady of the Lake reflection, like, in her own reflection, like, she wouldn't see herself in the mirror, and she just kept saying, like, or she would say this one time, like, I'm here, but I'm not here. Like, I'm physically right. sitting next to you, like, it's my body, but it's not me inside. And that's such, like, a just losing yourself and losing your identity and
it's
maybe
even disassociation.
Like your,
yeah. It's the definition of disassociation. Being present, but, like, watching
mm-hmm.
the experience.
Yeah.
I liked it. I didn't like the last episode. I don't think you should end a horror, romantic, gothic show with a Sheryl Crow song.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say, like, the last episode, it wasn't, like, disappointing because it was, like, everything wrapped up and I got all my questions pretty much answered besides, like, are ghosts permeable?
Why did you not fall to the core of the earth?
Yeah, I'm like, why are you able to walk on the floor? But, all my questions were answered, like, all the big important questions were answered, so I wasn't disappointed. It was just weird. Like, it was a weird way, like, yeah, how, so, in the Turn of the Screw, Henry James's story, it starts off the same way. It starts off, they're at this, like, wedding party, and, or some kind of party, I'm not sure if it's exclusively, I think it is a wedding party, but anyway, and there's a woman, and she says, oh, like, I have a story. I don't know. I'm assuming she has an English accent. That sounds better. And then she tells the story of Bly Manor. And so it starts and it ends off the same way. But I really enjoy how they did that, how it was, like, a story. Like, kind of like how the Titanic is. Like, it starts off with, like, Rose talking about it. And then just it goes. And then you find out that the bride is actually Flora, and but they forgot about Danny, and there's just a whole bunch of, like, shit going
crazy.
On.
Crazy. I mean, I feel like that's a natural coping skill, is to just forget trauma. So, like, Miles and Flora don't remember anything that happened, and don't remember Jamie. She's like, can I hug you? And I'm like, oh my god, this woman was, like, such an integral part to your childhood.
Yeah.
Even if she was just maintaining the plans, she helped save your life, you know? I don't know. It's just crazy.
Yeah. No, it was, I just, like, licked my foot. Yeah, I was really happy with the entire series. And I wasn't, like, or season, I keep saying series. I was really happy with the entire season. The ending, I don't want to say anticlimactic, that's not the right word. It was just weird. Like, I'm grateful that it had, like, a kind of a happier ending. Like, it ends off with, like, Jamie, who is now older, attended Flora's wedding, and you find out, like, it's all these people that were in Bly Manor, but they had all forgotten everything. So it was almost funny, too. I don't know if there was, like, a parallel, but, like, they had forgotten everything, and the people and the ghosts in the house had forgotten themselves. So I don't know.
I didn't even realize that. That's
well, I don't
crazy.
Know if there's some kind of parallel with that, but I was like, oh, that's interesting. But so all the people, like, had forgotten about Bly Manor besides Jamie, and Jamie is still, like, just spending her life. Like, she has this whole bathtub just full of water and her sink full of water, and she keeps her door open because she's waiting for Danny's ghost to come back and, like, be with her. And then, like, obviously, like, apparently it hasn't happened that she knows of, but then the very last, like, couple seconds, you see it kind of pans out, and you see Danny's hand on her shoulder. So you can assume that Danny has been with her. It's just,
you're like, Danny, girl, she left her hotel room door open. Yeah. She's gonna get murdered because she's waiting for you. Let her know you're there.
Yeah, at least right on the freaking mirror or something. Like, hey, like,
shut your door.
What's up? Yeah, like, lock your door. What the fuck are you doing? Yeah.
So it was effective. I liked it.
It was, honestly, I will say, like, it was a beautiful and emotional, like, a very impactful way to end the season. It was just a little, it wasn't what I was expecting. So yeah. I wouldn't say it was bad. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, interesting.
It was such a powerful show, but the ending just was a little lackluster. It wasn't anticlimactic, because there was a climax.
Yeah.
It was just a little lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
There were some scenes in particular that were absolutely amazing. There were some episodes that were better than others. Overall, it was good. I think the finale could have been better. Even the last 5 minutes could have been better. No Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, Sheryl Crow.
That was just weird creative decision.
Yeah, and I understand the scene where, like, so at the end of the story, it's just Jamie and Flora, or her middle name is Flora now, but anyway, Flora.
Like, let's change your name and pretend like it didn't happen.
Yeah,
it's Miles, like, is still Miles, though.
Yeah, but they're sitting in this room with this fireplace, they're by themselves, and Flora's wedding is the next day. And Flora starts crying. It's like, I just love my fiance so much. Like, I can't imagine not having him. Like, what happens when he goes? Like, what am I going to do? And Jamie's like, it's going to happen and it's going to suck. And you're like, why would you? Like, I get it. Like, you lost someone, but, like, and she was like, it was with good intention. Like, she was like, he's still with you. Like, it'll get better. It'll get easier. But also, like, the day before your wedding, if my friend or niece or daughter or whatever came up to me and was like, I'm really afraid that my fiance is going to die and I'm going to be alone. I'm going to be really sad. I wouldn't be like, yep, you should be.
I'd also, be like. Jamie's not a very good role model. Like, mm-hmm. her wife, girlfriend, partner died like 15 years ago. And you're like sleeping with your bathtub full every night, hoping her yeah. ghost will come visit you. Like, if I died, I would want my husband to move on. Yeah. Go find a partner. Don't be lonely waiting for a ghost forever. Like, that's just a sad life to live. It's not being fulfilled.
Yeah. I think it's also, like, I mean, I don't know how much time had passed, but I think maybe, like say, like, 87, when Danny and Jamie were together, let's say, well, I guess it was probably, like, 20, 30 years later, so I guess homosexuality would have been a little bit more accepted, but still, even now it's not, you know, I mean, it is, but like, even now you have like this, I don't want to get into it, but
God forbid you're in the Bible Belt.
Yeah. And it's like, why, how is that directly affecting you at all? Like, just, I don't know. Anyway, you love someone, you should be with who you want anyway, but I don't know how accepted it still was, like, after Danny passed, like, if she was, like, still hiding this fact about herself or this truth about herself, like, she couldn't bear to, I don't know, she seemed like a very strong, like, she could just go out and, like, get anybody she wants, like, she was very confident, but, so, I don't know, maybe, or she just loved her so deeply that she just couldn't move on, or, I don't know.
So what was your favorite scene? What was the scariest scene for you?
Scariest scene? Well, the Lady of the Lake is really creepy. I think, like, the most shocking scene for me was when the Lady of the Lake grabbed Peter by his throat. Just because she comes out of fucking nowhere and grabs him, and then just, like, drags him away. I also, like, I would say there's, like, any scene with her in it is really creepy. When she's lurking in the background is really, anything, like, lurking in the background is really creepy. But I would say the most effective for me that I got, like, the most, like, freaked out at was when she came and just, like grabbed Peter by the throat. But also there was this is going to sound really dumb, but there was this one scene where when Hannah, it's, like, Hannah's episode, and she's, like, dream hopping and whatever, mm-hmm. and her and Owen are, like, constantly going through the same interview, and all of a sudden Owen turns to the camera and screams, Miles! Like, freaked me out because yeah. it's actually Hannah. Like, that made me jump. Like, so that was, like, on a different level was scary. But I would say, like, when she grabbed Peter by the throat was scariest. What about you?
So, Hannah's episode. I feel like a lot of, like, each episode, like, represents a different person, yeah. a different character in the show. Hannah's realization was one of the most impactful for me.
Mm-hmm.
So Hannah Gross, Mrs. Gross, you see her looking a little distant. She could just, you know, be struggling mentally. You're thinking, she's just a little flighty, you know, whatever. But she sees cracks in the walls randomly. You're like, that's fucking weird. Why mm-hmm. is she seeing a crack in the subway tile in the kitchen? Why is she seeing a crack in the little chapel that's on the property? And you find out that it's like Groundhog Day. It's mm-hmm. definitely psychological horror. She's experiencing the same three memories over and over. You're like, what the fuck is happening? What's going on with her? You find out that Miles is possessed by Peter Quint, and he pushes her down a well. Wells fuck me up anyway. Thanks, The
yeah.
Ring.
Yeah.
She falls down the well and cracks her neck. That's why she was rubbing the back of her neck. Cracks her neck and sees a crack in the foundation of the well at the very bottom. That's the last thing she sees before she dies. So she's a ghost. You find out she's a ghost. And, like, it was almost like the bent neck lady realization from season one. Yep. It's like my jaw was on the floor. Like, my brother called it. Thanks, Ben, for calling this yeah. shit. He's like, Hannah's dead. I'm like, bitch has been drinking wine for 3 episodes. She's not a ghost. He's yeah. like, she's totally a ghost. She's never left the house. Why else would she not go to Owen's mom's funeral?
Mm-hmm.
But that realization was also very sad because mm-hmm. she was developing that relationship with Owen. And he's like, Hannah, let's go to Paris together. I'll open a restaurant. You can come stay mm-hmm. with me. Let's, you know, go be lovers and travel the world. And she wanted to say yes. She was living in her memories. And she's like, yes, I'll go with you. But it was just a memory. And he was already up and moving on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably one of the most effective episodes. It mm-hmm. fucked me up. It was emotional. One of the creepier parts, I think, Lady Lake grabbing Peter and dragging him into the room with, like, a twitchy walk.
Yeah.
Was it the very first episode when they played hide and seek? And yeah. there was a ghost behind Flora humming that Willow Wally song.
Yeah.
That scared me. It freaked me out. So I thought things were, it wasn't as scary as I anticipated the season being, but it was still very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, my laptop is, like, it keeps, like, going to screensaver, and I'm like, no, like, I think I lose it. But speaking of, like, not being able to leave the house, like, that's another thing that reminded me of American Horror Story, is that, like, in the very first season, Murder House, no one's able to leave the house. Like, they're, like, tied to this house. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if, in the first season, if there was a reason, like, because in Bly Manor, there's a curse on the house where you can't leave. Like, in the Murder House, was there a reason, or was it just that the house was, I can't remember exactly, there was, like, a specific.
I can't remember if it was because they died a violent death, but, like, mm-hmm. they were trapped on the property until Halloween.
Oh, yeah, then they could roam. Mm-hmm.
Well, then I remember on the most recent season, Apocalypse, Moira's ghost was trapped there, and she wanted to be buried with her mom so she can go, like, and be with her mother.
Yeah.
And so they took her bones, which were under
the gazebo
or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, but then they ended up erasing that timeline because they killed Michael. Mm-hmm. So then she was stuck in the house again. Like, there was all that, there was that conclusion, like, that closure for her to go move on, and then they backtracked and she was still at the house. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's because, like, they died violent deaths, just because they died on that property, but they were stuck
there
forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's pretty much like what Bly Manor was too. Like, they were stuck in this house because Viola, like,
I just thought it was so interesting, like, mm-hmm. instead of moving on, she had so much will that she created gravity and created a glue trap.
Yeah,
based on pure, like, you know, resilience alone. Like, what a strong mm-hmm. woman. Put that to good use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 very strong woman. Like, obviously, like, throat punch a bunch of people, but yeah, go you. Okay, so if you haven't seen it, which we just gave literally everything away, so hopefully you have watched it,
let us know what you like and dislike about it. I'm yeah. curious to know. Favorite scenes, scariest scenes, any yeah. Easter eggs or realizations mm-hmm. that you might have. I'd love to hear.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think about Peter Quint? Do you think he's a sociopath, or do you think he was, did you have empathy for him because he was crying, and did he love Miss Jessel?
I have a soft spot for him, and not just because he's incredibly attractive. He seemed to feel remorse. It mm-hmm. wasn't just, I mean, he was selfish. He made bad decisions. He killed people, but he seemed to not be rotten to his core. He was just a broken person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let us know what you think. We'll be posting on social media. This is our very first bonus episode, so we're excited. Okay, so in closing, Hill House is phenomenal. So if you haven't watched Hill House, make sure you watch Hill House as well. Like, there's no ties to it besides, like, the actors. So we didn't like, spoil anything. But Hill House is awesome. My earring just fell out. What the fuck? Hill House is awesome. Bly Manor is just oh my gosh, it's brilliant. Everything about it is brilliant. So really happy to be able to talk about it. But, so in closing, it's a really good spooky thing to watch, but it's also kind of just very emotional and,
have some tissues.
Yeah, it was very, very, sentimental. But, so, just make sure to check out our social media at, Instagram at Screams and Queens Pods. I'm like, what the fuck is it? At Screams and Queen Pod, and then on Twitter at Screams Podcast. We do have a Patreon, and that you can get bonus episodes or early releases episodes, discount on merchandise and everything. So check that out, patreon.com/screamsandqueens. We are on Apple Podcasts now. We have been for a little bit while, but make sure to leave us a rating and a review if you love us and you love the podcast. We look forward to that. And thanks for tuning in. We are Screams and Queens, minus Jenna, and we'll see you next week.